Blog Talk Radio.
The PW Torch Livecast postgame show is brought to you by our good friends at LootCrate.com. Loot Crate, you can use the code PWTorch to save $3 off your first purchase with Loot Crate. And hello again, everyone. I'm Pat McNeil. This is your postgame show. I am PW Torch columnist, secondary columnist, and I guess the regular host of these shows now. We have just completed the WWE TLC pay-per-view, which... Well, we'll run it down really quickly, and then we're going to bring in Greg Parks, who will be calling in, our other PW Torch columnist, on the scene for this. Let's run through it quickly. We had the show actually lasted about 3 hours and 15 minutes because what they called the kickoff show is now just a it's now just part of the pay-per-view, like it was supposed to be in the first place. We had a 10-man tag on the pregame show. It was the team of Apollo Crews, American Alpha, and the Hype Bros defeating the team of Curt Hawkins, the Vaudevillains, and the Ascension. Gable pinned one of the Vaudevillains in about 12 minutes. Let's see. The opener saw Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt defeat Heath Slater and Rhino in about 6 minutes to capture the WWE SmackDown Tag Team titles. There was not a whole lot to this match, but it appeared that Orton and Wyatt are here to stay. Luke Harper this time took the bullet for Randy Orton so that the Wyatts could get the victory, and all three of them celebrated after the match, and really the crowd didn't seem that upset about it. We had Nikki Bella defeat Carmella in a no disqualification match in about 8 minutes. Nikki ended up spraying Carmella with pretty much the entire contents of the fire extinguisher and one with the rack attack. So that was nice. After the match, Carmella informed Nikki that it wasn't Carmella who attacked Nikki at Survivor Series. It was Natalya. When reached for comment later, Natalya said that the accusations were absurd. So I'm sure they'll be settling this more on SmackDown later. In the Intercontinental title match, it was The Miz defeating Dolph Ziggler in about 23-24 minutes to keep the Intercontinental title. This was a very good match. Went about 4 stars. It looked like Ziggler had it won. Miz gave Ziggler a low blow and managed to get up there first and capture the championship belt. Let's see if our man Greg Parks is on the line. Hold on a moment. Let's bring him into the show. Okay. How about this? There we go. Close enough. All right. Please welcome fellow Torch columnist Greg Parks. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Pat.
No problem. Least we can do, given that you're the co-host. I was just running through the results. Next up, the chairs match, Baron Corbin and Kalisto, although Baron Kalisto would be a good name. Baron Corbin ended up winning this match. I don't see from the report how long it took. It felt like it took a while, and it was actually okay. Corbin ended up hitting the end of days on a pile of chairs to get the victory, but Kalisto got a lot of offense and got to look good, I thought. Greg?
It was Baron Corbin's match to win. I don't have a problem with him winning, given I think world of WWE, he has a higher upside than Kalisto. So I think him winning decisively in a match like this does better for him than it would have a win for Kalisto. Although Kalisto did get to look good. I mean, he had his moments in this match. It wasn't a total squash by any means. So, I'm on board with Corbin winning this one.
Yeah, and if it gets Kalisto over to the cruiserweight division, which is where I think he belongs, you know, so much the better.
Oh yeah.
But we'll see how that comes of that. Becky Lynch defending the SmackDown Women's title in a tables match against Alexa Bliss. In about 16 minutes, it looked like Becky had the advantage, but Bliss was off the ring apron. She caught Becky on the apron and powerbombed her through a table. And that's the finish. Alexa Bliss is your women's champion. Not a great match, but certainly not a bad match. And, you know, it's about what you can expect from a tables match. And it gives Alexa Bliss the title without Becky Lynch actually being pinned or submitting. Greg.
Yeah, they've had better matches. I think the first half of it was a little rough. There were some mistimed spots and things like that. So they did pick it up in the second half of the match. This was the second title to change hands on the night that I totally understood and I was on board with. The tag title match that switched the belts to Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt in the first match, that made sense to me. Switching the belt to Bliss here also made sense to me, sets up some fresh matches. I think Becky Lynch is a really good face of the division, as much as you have a face of any division, whether it be the men's division or the women's. I think she's good as that top baby face, but I think Bliss has certainly earned a title run with her work lately.
Okay, so now the question is whether I'm sure we'll eventually get a rematch on SmackDown television, but the question is who gets the next major run? Do we get more of Bliss and Becky Lynch, or does somebody else get to go after the title?
Well, the first one that comes to my mind would be Nikki Bella getting a shot at the heel Alexa Bliss,
yeah.
But it looked like they set something up for Nikki Bella and Natalya here, given how Carmella and Nikki Bella looks like they're done. So, you know, Nikki, Natalya may be a short-term feud until they fully get Alexa and Becky out of their system. Like you said, Pat, a rematch likely coming up for Becky Lynch, having just lost her title tonight. But I would assume the long-term direction, so much as you have a long-term direction, especially for the women, would be Nikki Bella challenging Alexa Bliss for the title.
Yeah, that would probably make the most sense. Although, you know, if they want to bring somebody over for NXT, I don't think they're quite ready to do that just yet. So, I mean, Nikki's an example. One other thing I thought is if Mickey James were actually to make a full-time comeback, which has been talked about at one point, maybe this would be a good spot for her.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
But,
that could be, depending on how long she sticks around, it could be, again, a short-term feud where she feuds with Alexa Bliss and then departs, or she hangs around. I'm not sure if she would be in it for the long term at this stage of her life and at this stage of her career. But I think adding her to the mix, if nothing else, adds some depth to the women's division on SmackDown.
Okay, and then in the main event, went 31 minutes. It was AJ Styles keeping the WWE World Heavyweight title over Dean Ambrose in the TLC match. It came when James Ellsworth came out with his neck brace on, limping to the ring. And yes, Ellsworth did push Dean Ambrose off the top of turn over the ladder with Ambrose on it, then dropped Ambrose, you know, over the top rope, off the ladder, through two tables, and that enable and motion for AJ Styles to come in. That was a win for AJ Styles. I think a lot of people saw it coming, and I still think it doesn't make any sense in the grand scheme of things, but I'm sure there'll be a promo which halfway explains things on SmackDown.
I'm totally off of the James Ellsworth train at this point. I think signing him to a contract was a mistake. I think he's totally a short-term character. I think they can explain his turn. Dean Ambrose hasn't exactly been the nicest guy to Ellsworth. Ellsworth has helped Ambrose here and there. He's also hurt his chances at times too. But Ambrose has kind of been sarcastic. He's put Ellsworth in harm's way. He hasn't been exactly outgoing and friendly to Ellsworth all of the time. So Ellsworth
right,
can play that card. But yeah, it's helping Styles, who's done much worse to him, doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense either.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Okay, we know lots of you are waiting. We have people in the chat room. We have people on Twitter. We will probably have some emails shortly. 515-605-9345. We are going to take a mandated commercial timeout. When we return, we will take a lot of your phone calls. So don't you go anywhere. This is the post-game show right here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Back after this.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
We're back, and in case I didn't forget to mention it earlier when I was talking about Loot Crate, you know that they're a sponsor for this show. They have a lot of epic geek and gamer items, and I already saw an ad this month that said with this month's crate you can get an exclusive Mr. Robot T-shirt if you're a fan of Mr. Robot from the F Society group. So be sure to check that out and use the promo code PWTorch, save $3 off. There's also there's also daily deals with something called the 21 Days of Geekmas, and we're definitely behind that. So check that out. They have the WWE Slam Crate, which I'm told some of you people enjoyed greatly. It's all over at lootcrate.com. And I'm back. I'm Pat McNeil. Greg Parks is here. And we have lots and lots of your phone calls still to come. 515-605-9345. Greg, are you ready to get to it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Talking Smack is going presently. Apparently, Alexa, according to one of our listeners, Alexa Bliss got the first interview, and she came off as a babyface and seemed very emotional and happy to win the title, which, well, I guess that's to be expected. So, it just seems a little bit off tonight, like some other things on the show. All right, well, let's go ahead and kick the stuff off. In the 478 area code, 478, please state your name and town. You're on the TLC postgame show. Yeah, close enough.
Doing, Pat? How you doing, Pat?
Hey,
how you
Darrell?
Doing, Greg? This is Darrell from Georgia.
How you doing, Darrell? We're doing fine.
Okay. I have three things for you guys going about the women. Other than maybe having Nikki Bella challenge for the title, do you think this is a way to stretch out the feud for a little minute, maybe bringing in Oscar or Mickie James? That's question one. Question two would be, where do the Miz go after this? Who do you have go after him? And where do AJ, and the third question is, where do AJ go after ending the feud with Dean?
Okay, all good questions. I guess I'll try the first one. We mentioned Mickie James a little while ago. I would be okay with using Mickie James going after Alexa as a way to stretch things out a couple months until if they want to go back to Becky Lynch, that's fine. Or if they want to stretch things out and then have Mickie go after Alexa Bliss for WrestleMania, I'm fine with that too. Greg?
Yeah, Naomi's an option too. She's on the babyface side on SmackDown as well. I don't think you can count her out, but like we said, Lynch is going to get a rematch here at some point. But after that, I would assume Alexa kind of gets away from Becky, and whether it's Mickie James, I don't think it's going to be Asuka. I think she's in NXT for the long term. I don't see her getting called up anytime soon. So it would have to be a Mickie or someone already on the roster.
Yeah, if it's me, I'm not even touching Asuka. Asuka's not losing a single match on NXT until WrestleMania weekend. That would be my guess. Okay, now the Miz. That's going to be. Let's see. Okay, we've removed. We've removed Dolph Ziggler from the equation. So let's see. Ambrose is going to be busy with Ellsworth for a little while. It's not like we have this huge list of top baby faces here that we're dealing with. Apollo Crews is a possibility, I suppose. Baron Corbin has seemed interested in going after Styles before. They'd have to turn one of them. Let's see. There's always Kane. Kane is somebody that they like to use, as a fill-in every so often. Yeah, I'm not crazy about the idea either. But, right now I think those are your guys. What do you think, Greg?
It's going to be interesting to see how things shake out in the next few weeks because this show really ended a lot of feuds. And so I think in the next few weeks, we're really going to start to see some new dance partners for a lot of these wrestlers. And it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out as we sit here, Pat. Like you're doing, there's no obvious one for these guys to go on to who've had their feud end for all intents and purposes tonight at TLC. So that's going to be one of the interesting things to keep an eye on going forward on SmackDown television, is to see when the music stops who everybody ends up with.
Yeah, as for AJ Styles, my guess is we're next up on the SmackDown side is Royal Rumble, and I'm willing to bet money John Cena will be back by then.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet to make. I don't think he's going to miss the Royal Rumble. That's become WWE's two or three, depending on SummerSlam, show of the year. So he'll be back for that, and he'll be back probably for the run up to WrestleMania as well. And you've got to take the Undertaker into account. Pat, you talked about earlier how people were expecting James Ellsworth to play a part in this finish, and some had even predicted that he would literally push the ladder with Dean Ambrose on it to cost Ambrose the title, exactly what happened in the finish tonight. There were also people expecting The Undertaker to possibly come out tonight and set something up for AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble. So perhaps, if not at the Royal Rumble, perhaps at WrestleMania. So The Undertaker's another guy, given his appearance on SmackDown a few weeks ago, that we've got to keep in mind going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a possibility, although I don't know. I mean, it seems awfully close to Undertaker recovering from a surgery. So, given a choice, I would expect Undertaker, to be targeting WrestleMania for a match. But
right.
But we'll see.
I think it all depends on his recovery and, like you said, how his surgery has gone and where he is in that.
I mean, the other possibility, and it's a long shot, is maybe when Finn Balor comes back, he goes to SmackDown. But I don't know. I don't know when that's happening.
Yeah, that's interesting. That would be, I think, Rumble time. I think is about when the timetable was for him to return. You'd certainly have to do some storyline straining to get him to SmackDown, given how high of a draft pick he was on Raw and what an important cog he was in the few weeks that he was on Raw. But
yes.
You look at Raw right now, and they don't necessarily need him as much as, say, SmackDown needs him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. Anything else? I mean, I'm not seeing really anybody else who stands out as being a good idea to feud with AJ Styles, though. All right. Anything else, Darrell?
That's always been the problem, especially with SmackDown, is it's not a top-heavy show. Especially with Cena out.
Now that I think about it, whoever does not survive this Nakamura versus Samoa Joe feud, that could be who's heading the SmackDown too.
Mm. Yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Well,
okay,
Joe lost in Japan, and breaking news: James Ellsworth get a title shot. Tuesday, they just said it on Talking Smack. So, he said he came out there acting like a baby face and said it was strategy for him to he got AJ's number. So,
okay,
I guess that's the first contender.
Makes sense to me.
I can't wait to cover that epic matchup on Tuesday night.
Yeah, me either. That's going to be fantastic. Okay, so we have our match set for Tuesday. Something I guess we can look forward to. All right, Darrell, thanks for calling in with us. We'll probably talk to you again in 2 weeks. Okay.
Okay.
Darrell drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. All right, let's continue this. We're going to go to the 408 area code. 408, please state your name and town. You're on the TLC postgame show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Caller.
My name is Antonio. I'm calling from Hayward in California.
Okay, Antonio,
Hello,
what
can
we do for
you? Oh,
I can hear you.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm just going to call in with some comments. I agree with you guys that saying Ellsworth is – signing him is kind of a mistake. Like, going forward, I don't know what more can they do with him. I feel like paying him maybe per appearance would have been a smarter choice on their part. And another thing I want to mention is that I felt like Alexis Nguyen was kind of obvious to me when they booked it into a table match, because we all know that she is kind of small, like Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
And seeing that the Hell in the Cell match, the finish was kind of botched because of how light Sasha was. I don't think the booker and the agent would risk that finish being a disaster like Hell in a Cell by having Becky try to put Alexa through the table. So right out the gate, I thought, oh, Becky's going through the table.
Well, I mean, I was thinking that during a good chunk of the match, but when they set up the spot where, you know, Becky could have double stomped Alexa through the table, I thought, okay, that's doable. I can see that. But you're right. There were a limited number of options in putting Alexa to the table.
And
James?
And I have... Go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, Greg, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Pat, I was waiting for you to catch that one.
I know.
I think that, you know, you could do the power bombs through the table spot. You could do, you know, Alexa gets to the second rope and gets pushed through the tables at ringside or something. But that was definitely a thought that crossed my mind too, is I wonder how they're planning on, if, you know, Becky was to win, I wonder how they would plan on putting Bliss through a table because she is so small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally just kind of gave it away for me. And I want to say that the commentary is doing a pretty good job. I think SmackDown commentary is progressing in a good direction. I think everybody is kind of doing a good job, minus JBL. I didn't like the Survivor Series commentary, especially the 515 SmackDown versus Raw men. I felt like when it was down to Roman and Rollins, there was a moment where Roman Reigns was saying that, like, hey, we can do this. We have done this before. Calling back to when they were still a Shield, and they were booked into a Survivor Series match. It was 2-on-4, and they pulled through and they won that match. I felt like the commentary could have kind of made reference to that, and no one caught that. They had two brands of commentaries, and no one caught that little moment there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think the big problem for Survivor Series is just they had too many commentators at ringside. I felt like they should have built the Hollywood Square set and, you know, had everybody stacked up there.
Yeah, this is actually the first complimentary thing I've heard about the commentary tonight, you know, following the show on Twitter, tweeting about it at Greg M. Parks. I noticed a lot of people complaining about the commentary specifically tonight. I didn't think it was any better or worse than what we usually get on SmackDown. I think JBL can be a bit exhausting sometimes. I think David Otunga is largely useless. I like Mauro more than a lot of people who have kind of turned on him, I guess. But, you know, there's just a way, I guess, of tuning the commentary out if you don't like it very much.
Maybe, I think that may be the case for me, because I'm kind of tuning JBL out from time to time. And I felt like Otunga is kind of hanging in there. I think he's trying his best. And I kind of see where his commentary is leading. I feel like a lot of time JBL doesn't add anything to the commentary, whereas David Otunga is at least trying to add something to the match or try to get the audience focused back on the match.
Yeah, I thought it was better tonight, but I think the reason it was better is because, you know, there was a lot going on in the ring where you didn't, you know, there wasn't dead space that they were having to fill on the commentary, which is usually a bad formula for them.
Right. And I do have one last thing I want to talk about is, where do you guys think Dolph Ziggler should go from here? I didn't want him to win a title, but I was kind of fear for him. Where does he go from here? Do you think is beneficial for the two brands if they trade talents? Like maybe Cesaro for Dolph or something like that. What do you guys think?
They could do that, and I probably wouldn't be upset with that particular trade. My guess is that assuming Dolph's not turning heel, which it doesn't look like that's the direction they're going, and if they do, they're going to need to turn somebody babyface to make up for it. Then what you're looking at is Dolph getting a partner and maybe going after Orton Wyatt, because on WWE.com, they're teasing that Heath Slater and Rhino are splitting up.
See, now that's interesting, because as Antonio had asked the question, I was thinking, well, I mean, if he got a partner, he could go after the tag titles, which would kind of put American Alpha on the back burner again, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I think Ziggler going to Raw, I don't think is going to help Ziggler in any particular way. I don't think he's going to be positioned better on Raw than he is on SmackDown.
I really don't know what they can do with him at this point.
Well, like we said, you put him in the tag division. I think he's not a guy as fun as Ziggler versus Styles would be. I think because the story surrounding his Intercontinental title chase is basically that he struggles to win the big one and that he's a loser and that, you know, he's lost against The Miz more times than he's won. He did have that short title reign. But I don't think you can be, you know, intellectually honest and push Ziggler to a title match now after you spent weeks and months of telling us how he can't win the big one. So as interesting as Ziggler versus Styles would be, I don't think you can go there. So, you know, it is a tag team title feud. It is maybe a feud with Baron Corbin, which I think we've already seen. But, you know, you got to get him away from the IC title at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I got today. So thank you for taking my call. All right, good night.
All right, no problem, Antonio. Thank you. All right, Antonio drops off. That opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. As for me getting your name wrong, Greg, All right, we're due for a break. We'll come back. We have more of your calls and emails and definitely the chat room. I think we're going to hit that up after this time out, so don't you go anywhere.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
All right, we are back with more of our TLC postgame show here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Torch columnist Pat McNeil, joined by Torch columnist Greg Parks. We're doing this after every WWE pay-per-view. God help us all. The number is 515-605-9345. And tell you what, we're going to go and hit, let's make the rounds here of all of our other forms of media, as we're going to check in first and see what's going on with the emails. Here we go. Thank you. Jordan Thomas writes, with Elimination Chamber rumored to be a SmackDown show, could we see a Women's Elimination Chamber? It would be a great leap for the SmackDown Live Women's roster. Greg, your thoughts?
Well, I think that's a possibility. If it's a SmackDown exclusive show, you would have the WWE title in the chamber, and you'd probably have a women's title in the chamber. You'd have two chamber matches, which we know that they're not shy about pushing more than one gimmick match for that pay-per-view coming off a three Hell in a Cell show. So I don't think two Elimination Chambers is out of the question, and hey, throw a women's one on there. Why not?
I think it's a bad idea given what we have on the SmackDown women's roster.
Well, no one's saying whether it's a good or bad idea, Pat. We're just asking if they're going to do it.
That's true.
That's the key.
I would rather they didn't. How about that?
Okay.
we'll take that for now. All right. Let's see. Over in the chat room, it's our man R. Damon, who says, yes, who wants to point out, Natty accused of assault, and in the next segment is helping a man propose marriage to his girlfriend. Yes, that did happen. They ran a big ad for K Jewelers right after Natty was accused of attacking Nikki backstage. There's helpful Natty helping helping Mr. WWE Universe fan pick out a ring, special ring for his special woman. That was so touching.
I, I guess the key was she was only accused of it. It wasn't proven that she did it. So maybe that makes it more tolerable. I don't know. That was just poor planning on WWE's part, I think.
I would, I think that's definitely the case. All right, email, chat room. Well, let's, also on Twitter. Do we get a notice on Twitter? Oh, yeah. Fools Get Dunked writes in and has a tweet for both of us saying, I like the main event, but my God, the crowd didn't get into any of the show until the spot fest started. I understand what he's saying, but the show is tables, ladders, and chairs. It's kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to get into a TLC match without, until the actual TLC starts. For the main event, for example, you pretty much knew that the finish wasn't going to come until somebody set up a ladder. and made a move towards getting the belt.
Right. And, whenever there's a crowd that is quiet or a crowd that isn't up for everything, it's easy to blame the crowd, but you also have to look at the show and say, okay, did this show give fans a reason to get up and get on their feet? I Ziggler versus Miz was pretty good. I would call it short of great. I think the main event was the best match on the show. The other matches, they had the gimmicks, they had the tables, they had the chairs, but the matches just weren't. I don't think that the crowd should have been up a lot more for those matches than they were. I think the matches fell short on the whole of really getting the crowd into it to where I can say, yeah, that match deserved a much better reaction. I didn't see a lot of that on the show tonight.
Okay. Let's go. Yeah, I would say that. Let's go ahead and continue on the telephones. We're going to go to the 630 area code. Okay, 630, please go ahead and state your name and town if I ever get this thing. Okay, here we go. You're on the TLC postgame show. Believe it or not, this is actually the TLC theme song. Hello.
Yeah, this is Adrian from Aurora, Illinois. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Adrian?
A couple things here. Best match by a country mile was Miz versus Ziggler for me. And I don't think it was Natty that hit Nikki over the head. I think it's going to be Tamia. So it'll be a swerve just like Rikishi a few years ago. Overall, I thought it was a pretty decent show. I give it about a 7 overall.
Yeah.
There's some good action in there. I mean, it wasn't really horrible or anything like that. Even the worst match had some pretty good things going on in there. So, overall, I thought it was 7.0, and look forward to hearing the rest of the callers.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Adrian. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good show. The question, I guess, is how, Greg, how much does the finish of the main event, take it down a little bit? Or does it even take it down?
It doesn't take it down a lot for me, I don't think. I would say I got the show in maybe a 6 range. I thought it was a decent show. I thought, the action was pretty average aside from Ziggler, Miz in the main event. But I thought all the booking made sense and the finishes made sense. So that's, the one thing we can say about the SmackDown brand pay-per-views is generally the booking is on point and makes sense and
right.
Solid. We can't always say that for Raw. But, I don't take a lot off the main event. I can understand if you do because of the Ellsworth interference and, he's gotten a couple wins. As fluky as they've been, he's gotten about 3 wins now over AJ Styles, and now here he is helping AJ Styles retain the title against Dean Ambrose. Certainly not doing a lot for AJ Styles, but I think AJ Styles' performance in that match, to me, almost overshadowed Ellsworth's interference and him not retaining his title by beating Dean Ambrose, but retaining it because of help from Ellsworth. I think his performance in that match kind of overshadowed that.
Yeah. Also, if people weren't watching the show tonight, spoiler alert, it wasn't because there was a great football game on. It was just the game that's on now is kind of, shall we say, one-sided. Okay, let's go. Let's continue on the telephones. 502 area code. 502, please state your name and town. You're on the TLC postgame show. Hold on. Here we go. Close enough. All right. 502, go ahead. Shoot.
Hey, guys. Luke from Frankfort, Kentucky. How's it going?
Doing good, Luke. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was pretty impressed with the show tonight. I was glad to see Bray finally get a major title in some respect. It's been a long time coming for him. Also, I think the women's storytelling is, even though maybe the talent is not as good, I really think it's a lot better on SmackDown. You had the Carmella-Nikki Bella match kind of open up a new thread with the Natalya attack. Then you have Alexa Bliss go over, who I really think has earned her spot on the main roster.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Greg. I would say the storytelling is generally better on SmackDown than on Raw. I mean, part of that is because, you know, they're only filling 2 hours a week instead of 3 hours and change. But I think that, you know, having fewer, you know, guys and gals that you have to squeeze into the show somehow, it makes things better thought out.
Yeah, and SmackDown really had two women's stories for that 2 hours, and then sort of a third minor story with Natalya and being the coach and with the whistle and all that kind of stuff. Whereas on Raw, for the 3 hours, you've got the focus almost solely on Sasha Banks and Charlotte. You've got Dana Brooke, but she's involved with the Charlotte-Sasha stuff. You've had Bayley, who's on the periphery, but she's sort of involved there too. You don't really have a second standalone story on Raw, despite the 3 hours. And Charlotte-Sasha, they're main-eventing Raw, they're main-eventing pay-per-views. They're doing a lot of good things, but the booking, you know, with the title going back and forth here, there's some question as to whether or not that's a good idea, whereas you know, Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss, their storyline has been great. Becky is the obvious babyface, no doubt about it. Alexa has played such a fantastic heel. You know, there's no muddying of the waters there. The characters have been consistent on television, and it's very refreshing to see for the women's division.
I can imagine, I can understand maybe criticizing that match tonight. I don't see a lot of people saying, you know, Alexa Bliss doesn't deserve to be champion.
So, oh, no. And that's something interesting from the summer, because when she was called up to the main roster, I think there were some eyebrows raised over that. And, you know, like we said, she certainly earned that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else, Luke?
I saw Alexa Bliss on Talking Smack. And even though maybe like the first couple minutes was real emotional and she came off babyface, she was able to turn it. Saying how she deserved it over Becky Lynch. So I kind of wanted to clarify. That's kind of what I like about Talking Smack. You get the reality of how much it means for them to be a champion, but then they can kind of turn heel and go back into character. One more thing with the IC title. You see somebody, even though it would be a heel versus heel match, somebody like Baron Corbin getting a title shot against The Miz, because I really think that you need to start utilizing people like Corbin and Cruz on SmackDown.
Yeah, if they're going to do that, I think The Miz is a guy who you can use to turn somebody babyface. I mean, I think if Corbin, you know, comes up and challenges Miz and Miz hems and haws and backs off, you know, people will start getting behind Corbin. Not that they're going to do that, but that is a possibility. Greg?
I almost think the opposite. I think that Miz is so entertaining in his role at this point. You risk turning him babyface. You know, we've seen guys who have been really good heels who, because they portray the character so strongly and are so good at that, even if they don't mean to, they end up turning babyface. Now you talk about putting a heel like Corbin against Miz. I think the tendency might be that the fans end up cheering Miz, who has really improved in the ring, and over a guy like Corbin, who's still got a little ways to go, and is seen by some people as maybe getting this push onto the main roster because of his size. And that's something the fans who cheer the heels don't necessarily like to see.
You know, I might disagree with you, except I heard Miz getting, you know, cheered more perhaps as that match went on tonight. So, I suppose that's possible.
Yeah, Corbin cut another great promo on Talking Smack, so I kind of like to see him get pushed because he's one of the true definitive heels on the whole show. He never really breaks character.
No, I mean, it's hard, though, because that's part of the problem with the split brands. You've already had, you know, guys paired with other guys, and it's going to be difficult to come up with fresh matchups unless you rotate some talent into the brand.
Quite true. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for calling, Luke. All right, 515-605-9345. Let's see how many people we have. One, two, three, four. Well, we got a few calls we might want to take before we get things done this evening. Let's keep going. Over to the 804 area code. 804, please state your name and town. You're on the TLC postgame show. Hello.
Hey, this is Landfill from Richmond, Virginia.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Landfill.
Can
you hear?
Yeah, okay, I hear you. Okay, what can we do
great.
For you?
Well, I wanted to, I have a few things that I wanted to say. First of all, AJ Styles definitely killed it tonight, and I think that maybe he could be the best wrestler ever, maybe. I think he could edge out Shawn Michaels as the greatest performer in the ring that I've ever seen, and, also, I'd like to say that after Goldberg's done with Lesnar, I think Ellsworth would definitely be the man to take him out. So, I wanted your comments.
Absolutely.
I wanted your comments on AJ Styles compared to Shawn Michaels. So, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Landfill. I think the problem with, in terms of WWE, when you compare AJ Styles with Shawn Michaels, it's going to be kind of hard to make that comparison because, you know, Shawn spent such a long time in WWE, and AJ is starting relatively late in his career, and I don't see Styles getting 15 years in the WWE like Shawn Michaels did. Greg?
Yeah, I agree. And the Shawn Michaels comparisons were out hot and heavy on Twitter tonight during the show with his bumping and everything like that. And that so that's not a surprise to get a caller questioning that. But certainly, you know, the comparisons are there. And Shawn did it in the big leagues for a longer time, had a wider body of work, had that injury that took him out for a few years, came back, and – you know, almost as soon as he came back was right back to where he was before. So that's, you know, almost shocking that he could do that. And AJ, you know, if you take into account his TNA days, if you take into account New Japan, his ROH stuff, certainly his body of work is a wider breadth than Shawn Michaels, who, you know, he was in the territories before he came to the WWE, but after he did, he was only WWE. So Styles in WWE, yeah, not going to approach Michaels. But if you're talking about his entire career's body of work, there's a discussion there.
Oh yeah, I mean, you look at I mean TNA, New Japan, ROH, which is kind of, he was you know, he was there for a while and then gone for a long while and came back. I mean, you know, a lot of the indie stuff he did. Yeah, I mean, AJ Styles has an incredible body of work to go through. And that's, I mean, they're different talent, but they're both great. And I, you know, at some point I expect AJ Styles to end up in the WWE Hall of Fame, you know, just based on the body of his work in his career, unless he does something, you know, Hogan-esque, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything? He wanted to know about James Ellsworth being the guy to end Goldberg's streak. Well, Goldberg's streak's been ended before. I have a suspicion if Goldberg's only staying through WrestleMania that Lesnar will end up being the guy to end the streak. But I don't know. I suppose we could get a Goldberg versus Ellsworth matchup somewhere, hypothetically.
I think it'd be more intriguing to see a Goldberg versus Ellsworth match at this point, but
there you go. That would be that would be one they could probably put together. probably end up on SmackDown. Okay. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Lamphil, is there anything else?
Well, there's Heath Slater has that shirt that says I got kids. And has anyone ever thought about replacing a K with an A?
I got a kid.
No. It says, I got kids, and if you replace that K with an A.
No, I don't think anybody's thought of that. Thank you. Thank you. That was I'll I'll handle the bad jokes around here. All right, we're going to go to the 302 area code next. 302, please state your name and town. You're on the TLC postgame show. Hello.
Yes, hi. This is Chris from Newcastle, Delaware.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
Hey, how you going? Nice to talk to you guys, and God bless you for having to do all these pay-per-views now. But I wanted to talk a little bit about two points I wanted to make. I'm actually a big fan of the Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss match. Bliss specifically, because like other people have said, I feel like she's really gotten into her own, and I feel like you can actually set up some really good storylines around her, because, you know, just based on her size, you could put together like a little faction for her, you know, like wrestlers that are actually bigger than her. She's the cowardly heel, always hides behind them. You know, I mean, there's a lot you can do with her. So I'm really glad that they did put the title on her, because I feel like there is kind of a ceiling for Becky Lynch. You know what I mean? Like, so as far as how far she can go as a babyface, I feel like she's better off, you know, chasing the title.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, this plays into, let's see. Our Damon in the chat room was suggesting that maybe Becky Lynch will be revealed to be the person who attacked Nikki Bella, which would turn Becky heel again. And, you know, she's been a very good heel before, although most of that was, you know, before she was in WWE. The only problem I see with Alexa, you know, leading a faction is she's on SmackDown, and they're going to have a hard time putting together enough female wrestlers to constitute any sort of faction. I don't know. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, you'd have to do some sort of mass call-up from NXT to make that work. She does have those leadership qualities that you could see in someone leading a faction. But as for Becky Lynch, I think you got to keep her babyface. I think she's done a tremendous job as a babyface. I think you needed to give her the title when the SmackDown title was created, because she had lost so much luster in that feud with Charlotte, where she kept getting distracted by Ric Flair and never won the title. And she was really hurt by that. So I think coming over, even though she may be better chasing the title, I think it was important for her to get that win and be that first SmackDown Women's Champion to kind of put her back on the map as a top women's wrestler.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with you, actually. You know, I feel like, and especially watching their match, you know what I mean? It kind of puts a parallel against Charlotte and Sasha Banks, where you can have a good match and not try to kill each other, you know? Like, that's pretty much what you see with Charlotte and Sasha Banks anymore with any of their matches. You worry if she's going to break her neck at any given time.
That's a concern.
But also one more thing I wanted to bring up. I've noticed a little dynamic between SmackDown and Raw now, well, particularly SmackDown. It's all heel champions, you know, and depending on how the next pay-per-view of Raw goes. Yeah. And depending on how the pay-per-view of Raw goes, if Roman Reigns wins and everybody else retains, it's all baby faces on Raw. So doesn't it seem kind of like they're writing themselves into a hole in that they'll be telling kind of the same story with each of the respective challengers?
It could be that way. I mean, unless they're planning to bring everybody back together for WrestleMania, in which case you have a babyface brand and a heel. No, let's not do that. Actually, that's a good point, but I don't expect there to be all babyface champions on either brand for a long period of time. I mean, I can see them, you know, and I expect that they'll switch. I don't know what they'll switch first. That's a good point. They could keep all the SmackDown champions heel probably for a while, now that I think about it. Greg?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a problem. You know, we've run into this before with all babyface or all heel champions, and the titles don't switch as often as they used to, but I think they switch often enough to where it's not a concern. I don't think you're going to see the same story being told necessarily. It's not going to be like the build-up to Survivor Series, where the story for every match was, you know, partners who couldn't get along, but they had to for brand supremacy reasons. I think they'll be able to differentiate it enough, and, you know, you'll have Becky Lynch going for revenge because she just lost the title. You'll have Wyatt and Orton moving on pretty quickly from Slater and Rhino, plus you've got the cloud of Randy Orton hanging over that, or whether or not he's really on board with the Wyatt family. And now in the main event, you've got AJ Styles as champion, but you've got the James Ellsworth situation as well, and how that plays out and what babyface is next to challenge him. So, yeah, they're all heel champions, but I think you've got a bunch of different babyface stories coming up for each one of them.
Okay. Excellent answer. And one last thing I wanted to say. I don't want to top the lines too long here. One thing that kind of bothered me was with the interviewer. I do not know her name. The dark skinned one that was interviewing
Dasha
Natalia.
Quintet.
Dasha
Quintet.
Yeah, not a big fan of hers, but particularly how she said something when they were asking if she was the one that attacked Nikki Bella. She said, knowing the nature of her character. You know, stuff like that bothers me. I mean, you know, it's one thing to do that on Talking Smack, but really, please try to keep the kayfabe in the pay-per-views. It's kind of annoying and they've done that a lot. You know, like one of the chat people mentioned earlier, you know, when they revealed her to be the potential attacker and then turned around and had her do a Kay Jewelers commercial. You know what I mean? Same thing with Dolph Ziggler and the Colonel Sanders thing. Anyways, that's all I wanted to put out there. And thanks a lot, guys. I hope you have a great night and you do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you, Chris. When I heard that, I thought, well, they meant in terms of Natty's personal character, like she was, like if she was a political candidate. But I suppose you could look at it the other way.
Yeah, I don't think they meant breaking kayfabe, kind of character that way. I think it was almost in her television character's character to do that. That's kind of how I think it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that's the way they meant it too. Now that I think about it, because you never know. Let's continue. We have somebody here from the 773 area code. Hopefully this gentleman is still awake. 773, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Hi, Boris.
Hey, Boris from Chicago.
What can we do for you, Boris? Did you enjoy the show?
Overall, I
like the show. Okay.
Enjoyed the show. I really actually enjoyed the show. It's just the weird, unexpected things they do, like the Natalia thing, where then they present her as a heel, but she's doing face, things for the company, which is very confusing.
Yeah.
James Earl or James Ellsworth or whatever, he's a face, and then he comes out and confuses the whole audience that was almost asleep, I think, through a TLC match. But, I mean, my overall is I'm trying to understand why WWE do things whereas in the obvious they won't do, which works. They go the hard way about doing things, as far as this show or any other show, even Monday, they take the difficult route with the fans versus just giving us what we want. That's my first question. And, the thing Natalia is pretty obvious, but, there's other ways they'd have been doing it, It just right there blatant.
Okay, Greg, I think we've talked about this before on other occasions. I think it goes back to, we can't do things the obvious way because that's wrestling, and we're not wrestling. We're sports entertainment. So we have to come up with this incredibly creative idea that people wouldn't think of. I think that's part of it.
We could spend hours delving into Vince McMahon's psyche as far as trying to explain why he does things that the fans don't want or why he doesn't do things that the fans want to see. But ultimately, he's a 71-year-old man who's running a wrestling company or a sports entertainment company, and basically he can do what he wants.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no question that he can do what he wants. Okay, what's next, Boris?
Miz, I'm glad he won. I'm Team Miz and I'm Team Bliss on the SmackDown side because Miz, I think the momentum was kind of destroyed a little bit when they let Dolph Ziggler win. When I think he should have just been over with Dolph Ziggler because, I mean, people want Dolph Ziggler to win but as soon as he got the belt, it felt like it was like it was like a dud. But when you had a Miz and the way he came out and spoke after the match and, dedicated and just, he get the organic boos, versus, you have to force people to – he's hated because he's the Miz. So I'm hoping they have another good program for him and Melissa Bliss, I seen part of that segment that they have at the end of the show. I don't know why it cut off on me, but I really enjoyed that. And like I said, it was kind of weird that she was speaking like a face, but, you know, after a while she turned in, she turned around and, you know, did the heel thing. But it was natural and organic, and I wish they could do more of that, talking smack for other people, you know what I'm saying? Because that's very helpful. Like, I wish they could put it in segments during the program. You think that would be a good idea to do it during programs too, the talking smack stuff?
Yeah, I mean, if you mean, could they do things where, you know, you get a post-match promo with somebody where it doesn't sound like they're reading off a cue card? Yeah. I think that would be great.
This is my first time seeing that, and I really like it because the way Daniel Bryan said, this is where you can do that. It's like he was encouraging her to just be emotional and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, I really like this. And it's like, I know the company probably don't like this, but I really enjoyed it because it felt natural. Even when they was encouraging, it's like, this is something really special and sweet, and I wish it could be encouraged throughout the whole SmackDown, not on Raw. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, we know what Raw product is, but I really enjoy SmackDown because it feels like, even though it's attached to, you know, as a WWE program, it feels that, you know, it does get its own way a little bit.
It's something different, yes. I like that aspect of it, too. Okay. Anything else, Boris?
Yeah. It's not WWE. It's the Matt Hardy stuff. They got to do 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Matt Hardy, in case you missed
really,
for people who missed Friday's Ring of Honor pay-per-view, the Hardys are on their way to Ring of Honor. They are still, as far as I know, the TNA Tag Team Champions, but there's going to be some sort of a feud between them and the Young Bucks, and Sean Radican has the information about it on the PW Torch website if you haven't seen it. And, yeah, I've got to say I'm looking forward to that, too. Greg?
Yeah, it's very cool that the Young Bucks can do this, just having signed a deal with ROH now, and the Hardys kind of doing their own thing inside of TNA and out. I think wrestlers all over the world would look at those two teams and say, man, I wish we were in the position they were in where they can kind of name their price and do what they want to do with whomever they want to do it with. And that's very cool that they have this shot.
Yeah.
So organic.
TNA was making a big push to bring the Young Bucks back to TNA, but, you know, geez, after the last time they were in TNA when they were Generation Me and they got beat up by Eric Bischoff, I might pacify with them.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to this, and I guess they're continuing on, you know, they've got stuff coming up in TNA for the next few weeks, so, yeah.
2 hours of Brooklyn McHardy?
Mm-hmm. Right. Why not? It might draw, you know, being an ROH might draw positive attention to their run in TNA and vice versa. Okay. Okay, Boris.
Thank you.
Hello. Oh, you're quite welcome.
Can you hear me?
All right. Let's try to get. Right, we're coming up on the end of our segment. Let's try to get these last couple of calls in. And I want to thank everybody who has tuned into the program thus far. After we're done, of course, you'll hear about how you can become a VIP member and listen to lots more audio from PW Torch. We'll go to the 808 area code. 808, please state your name and town. You're on the TLC postgame show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? Alberto from Orlando.
Hello, Alberto.
Yeah, I was just saying, you guys think it's time for Sami Zayn to be traded to SmackDown? Because looking at the SmackDown roster, who is Miz going to defend his title against now? And that's all I got.
Okay, yeah, we talked about that earlier. You know, there's a couple of ideas, but there's no one who really jumps out as being, you know, this is the next guy. The question is, if you trade Zayn, who do you trade? I mean, do you trade him straight up for Ziggler, or how would you do that, Greg?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I like Zayn on SmackDown more than I like Cesaro on SmackDown at this point, which is what we had talked about earlier. I think Cesaro and Sheamus have something going on Raw that I'd like to see continue. They have pretty good chemistry doing their mismatch tag partners routine. So and Zayn is sort of in a tough spot because I feel like his character is getting away from him a little bit on Raw. And I think it would be really good for that character to have him feud against a heel like The Miz, because I think that would bring out the best in Sami Zayn's babyface character. As for who you trade, yeah, that's the tough part because the depth is so thin. Anyone you trade is it's going to be a hit either way, you know. So you get a guy like Sami Zayn, but you're going to lose somebody too, unless you do a Jack Swagger where his contract expires and he goes to SmackDown.
That's Jack Swagger. That's a name that didn't come up. I suppose they could go that way. We do have an email.
And he was the hottest free agent in sports entertainment
for about 12 seconds. Email from Gary, who wants to know, who thinks Apollo Crews needs more TV time, and he poses a good question. When does Shelton Benjamin come back to SmackDown? Because he got injured before he was supposed to debut. Is he? He's a possibility if he's healthy.
Yeah, I know there was some question as to whether, you know, WWE is even interested in him now that he's had the injury and he's had the surgery and has to go through rehab and all that. But he did get that 1 week video package on SmackDown that he was coming. So I think that would help a lot if WWE did decide that he was worth bringing back. Even after the injury, it would help strengthen that mid card.
Yeah. If he's healthy, it's a fine idea, I think. All right, one more. Let's go to the 513 area code. 513, please state your name and town. You will be the final caller on the DLC postgame show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Chris from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. I actually really liked the show up until the end. I was kind of taken aback that James Ellsworth cost Dean Ambrose the match, but I checked out Talking Smack before calling in, and he explained it as he's already beaten AJ Styles 3 times. So if AJ Styles is the champion when he gets his match, he has a chance at winning the title. And if he does win the title, he would give Dean Ambrose the first title match to make it up to him. So my only question was, what's next for Ellsworth? Does he stay as a babyface? Does he actually turn heel? How much shelf life does he have after this? Because as a heel, I thought he would just do one match to Dean Ambrose, get killed, and then that would be the end of him. But since it doesn't seem like he's turning all the way, you know, what's next for him? And that's all I got.
Okay. A good question, I suppose. I don't think – here's the thing. I mean, he might say he's a babyface. I don't think Dean Ambrose is going to buy it, though, Greg.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's interesting. That explanation is interesting, and it's one that I guess makes the most sense out of a kind of senseless thing here with this James Ellsworth deal. You know, I kind of posited a way to make him full-fledged heel earlier in the show as far as his explanation about – Dean Ambrose's treatment of him, but this sort of feels more like a self-preservation turn rather than a full heel turn as far as, you know, hey, I can beat Styles, let me have a shot at him, you know. Nothing against Dean personally, but I felt more comfortable facing AJ Styles for the title. I don't know how that's going to shake out, whether he stays babyface or whether he's full-fledged heel. I guess we'll know more after what happens with his match against Styles on SmackDown this week.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is a way to drag, this is a way to extend the Ellsworth storyline a few more weeks, I suppose. Well, there you go. All right, chat room, Jobber150 says that he is holding out hope that Mickey James is the mystery attacker. Well, that's... we'll see about that. I suspect that might not be true, but you never know in WWE storylines. Okay, Greg, as always, it's been a informative and fun show, and I enjoyed doing this with you, and look forward to doing it again in 2 weeks when we bring you a Roadblock end of the line. Are you going to be doing any live casting between now and then? Or, well, I know you're going to be covering SmackDown
yes.
Tuesday night from Houston.
Yeah, as always, covering SmackDown Tuesday night live and in real time on PWTorch.com. I will also be talking about that soon-to-be legendary AJ Styles versus James Ellsworth title match, main event of SmackDown
yes.
with Wade Keller on the SmackDown post-show live cast this Tuesday night after the show.
Yes, I believe they're calling that Styles Ellsworth 4. I think that's what we've already termed that matchup. Yes. So I can hardly wait, just like you. And thanks to all of you who tuned in. Some of you, obviously you enjoy this show, but you might want to hear more of what we give you here at PW Torch, including audio from all of our columnists and the Bruce Mitchell audio show and The Fix with Todd Martin. Anyway, you can hear all about that in just a moment. Thank you all for being part of our audience here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Good night.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. This is life.